The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Marriage Day, Tony. Do you remember your wedding day?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. With my wife here or my secret family in Greece? Which one?
Oh, okay. Secret family is a key word. I think we all want to skip ahead to that department.
Yeah. It's too bad it's in Greece, because that's really a long trip for me. So I
have
don't
you
get
ever
there
been
as
to
much
Greece?
As I would like.
Have you
I
ever
have
been?
Not. I know. Oh. No, you've been, I know. You went
yes,
to the Olympics.
Love Greece.
No, I've never been to Greece. Never.
Whole summer, 2004.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Jazz win again. Russell Wilson says he never demanded a trade. And Mookie Betts does something magnificent. But we begin today with the Milwaukee Bucks winning ugly, but at least winning. They avoid the possibility of being swept by the Nets, and they climb back into the series. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton had 68 of Milwaukee's 86 points. Both teams shot poorly. It was really a rough watch. Wilbon, do you think Milwaukee found something that will continue to succeed?
Yeah, not that I can identify, Tony. No, when they were up like 30-9, I think it was 30-9.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, in the first quarter.
It's
yeah,
like yeah, I'm, yeah. I'm listening actually on the radio, get to hear my boy John Barry, and I had no confidence at 30-9 that it wasn't going to be 34-34. And it was close to that, right? And the Nets catch up, and they keep firing threes on the Milwaukee side. And I'm saying to myself, you just did this the other day, and it was dumb, and it didn't work. And now you floated back to it after taking a lead, and Giannis is playing in the space that I associate Giannis Antetokounmpo with, which is closer to the paint. In the paint, closer to the basket. And just he drifts outside, and he goes 0-for-6, and he hits one. He just keeps shooting threes. And I'm like, what is this? What is the fatal flaw in the Milwaukee Bucks? And it just seems to be, I don't know, approach, mentality. I mean, a lack of understanding who they are and who they are not. And so, no, by the end of the game, Tony, I'm glad they won. I want to see a series. I picked Milwaukee. And yet now I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, the declarative sentence I would make is simply that Milwaukee avoided disaster. And if you ask me if they found something that would succeed, maybe they found something defensively that would continue to hold the Nets down, maybe. But you look at Milwaukee, and always like to get the numbers right, Mike. Milwaukee got 15 points in the second quarter. They're up by 100. They got 15 points in the second quarter. They got 18 points in the fourth quarter. If Joe Harris, a reliable shooter, does not shoot 1-for-11, they lose the game. So I can't imagine. I can't imagine them feeling anything but lucky. If I'm the Nets, I sort of shrug and I say, okay, we'll get them in game four. Because I remind my teammates, Milwaukee should have cruised in this game. They were up by so much early, and the Nets had a shot to tie right at the buzzer. So, it doesn't feel like the kind of game where you say, oh, they've turned around the series. Doesn't.
Yeah, it's like they learned nothing from games one and two. I mean, literally nothing. They had guts. They played hard. They poured themselves into it. But that offense is not good enough. If Joe Harris hits three shots instead of one, it's a 3-0 series. And so, no, there's nothing to inspire confidence in the Bucks based
Can
on
Can I
yesterday.
Ask you a question about Antetokounmpo, a two-time MVP? 4-for-9 from the free throw line. Why wouldn't I foul him all game? And 1-for-8 from three. What is he doing taking eight shots?
And you know what? Here's what he's doing taking eight shots. He don't want to get fouled. If you take the ball to the basket, you're going to get fouled. And that means you got to stand there despite the 10-second violation call that was made for the second time in the playoffs. You got to stand there and shoot him. You got to shoot him in less than 14 seconds or so. They're not even calling it tight. And you got to make it. And he can't, and he won't let it go. So, they just seem to be a mess. And I feel bad. I feel bad for Giannis, who's a great player, but this is not his finest moment. The Clippers find themselves in a familiar position down 0-2, Donovan Mitchell scored 37 last night as the Jazz beat the Clippers in Salt Lake City for the second straight time. Of course, L.A. was down 0-2 to the Mavs, bounced back to win that series, and Kawhi Leonard says his team has lots of fight left. Tony, do you trust him on that?
Okay. If this was any other team, I would be laughing at that comment. But as you say, they won a series where they were down 0-2 at home and had to go on the road, win three straight on the road. Kawhi Leonard, in an elimination game on the road, scored 45 points. And I remember this well. After the second game, your boy Playoff P said, essentially, we are brimming with confidence. And I went on the air and I laughed at him. But they won, so I have to eat it. So in the case of the Clippers, I am not going to root. Do I think Utah is a better team? Yes, I do. They're 6-0 when Donovan Mitchell is playing in the playoffs this year. They're 2-0 without Mike Conley, which I didn't think was going to happen. But I look at the Clippers as a team, a very overused word, resilient. But they showed me that in the first series. So yeah, I can't automatically knock them out, even though, Mike, it's disastrous if you keep going down 2-0 in series. You just can't
Tony,
keep doing it.
I'm going to just go back to the very specific nature of Kawhi Leonard's statement. Yeah, they got plenty of fight left. Nobody questions the Clippers' fight. Never. Why? No. Because, first of all, he's the leader of that team, and he's always got fight left. So, no, there's no point of questioning that. That's not the personality of the team. What I wonder about still is whether they have the personality, whether they have the dynamic personality when down against a better team, and Utah is better than Dallas. Can they pull that through? Can they navigate that? And that's my question. Not whether they're tough enough, not whether they have fight, Tony. And so we saw from Utah last night the thing that is going to challenge the Clippers. They have weapons, so many of them. They have guys, even if two or three guys are cold, they got two or three more guys who can shoot it. They can play defense. The defensive player of the year showed up in several instances and made great plays, Rudy Gobert, at the defensive end last night. So I think Utah's a better team. Do I think the Clippers are going to get at least one at home? I do. It could be a long series, Utah's a better team.
Russell Wilson talked to the media yesterday, and he dropped this nugget, and I quote, "I didn't request a trade," unquote. Oh, Wilson said how much he loves Seattle, how he never wants to leave. He says everything was blown out of proportion. He said he only gave Seattle a list of teams he would play for because he thought they might trade him. But everything's good now. Even the offensive linemen have no problem with what Wilson said. Wilson said, "Well, Bon, do you believe this stuff?"
No. Let me just say, Tony, I saw Russell Wilson at the Basketball Hall of Fame a couple weeks ago. And, you know, he was the person that my son was just dying to meet. Go over and say hello to Russell Wilson. And I said, if you ask him about the trade thing, I'm going to pop you and send you out of here. We're not bringing that up. This is a social situation. I don't believe a word of it. It's just backsliding. It's just, you know, PR management 101. Just sort of deny you say. And, Tony, he's not alone. Russell's not alone. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks in the league. He's not alone. No one owns anything that he or she says anymore. Certainly not politicians, and certainly hardly ever sports stars. They just say, yeah, we're moving on from that. We're going to go on. Now, that's in the rearview mirror. That was yesterday. You want to talk about the game? You want to talk about that? They don't own anything. So I don't expect Russell Wilson to own that stuff from back in the winter and spring. I don't.
So let me go to specifics here. The first thing I absolutely don't believe is that the linemen are cool with everything he said, because he trashed them all around the country, and they are not happy with that. That's one. The second thing I don't believe is that it was blown out of proportion, because the guy who was fanning the flames was Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson was the antagonist in this, not Seattle, which kept saying, we don't want to trade Russell Wilson. And the third thing, and I believe that semantically and technically, he's right that he did not ask for a trade. But his agent went out there and he gave Seattle and I think Adam Schefter a list of teams that Russell Wilson would be happy to play for. And you don't do that as an agent unless the guy you're agenting says, this is the thing that we ought to do. So I see him as the provocateur in all of this. I like him. I think he's a terrific quarterback. But as we used to say, he's got some splaining to do to his teammates. He's got some fences to mend because he's the guy who did this.
Yeah, but Tony, that's in the old world that you and I grew up in. People don't have to explain anything anymore. They just say, I didn't say it. They post something on Instagram. And that makes the world all right. I know that's not the world. You're not even familiar with that world now. That the rest, I'm familiar with it. And people don't have to explain anything. He goes to a lineman and he says, I didn't say that. And they say, Russ, it's right here.
Did
you see my new post? You didn't see my new post. If you saw my new post, you know we're A-OK. A-OK, as Eddie Murphy used to say. It doesn't matter. They go 3-0, and everybody will say, why are you guys all hating on Russ? That's the way the world works.
No,
nobody
right
owns
that.
Jack. Nobody.
Let's take a break. We're coming up. What's the word for the double play that Mookie Betts pulled off against the Pirates?
And what should we expect when Fernando Tatis Jr. faces Jacob DeGrom tonight? What's the word? It's next. A lot of people in that town you live in outside your attic, they don't own anything. Right down the street from the place you used to call a studio. They don't own Jack.
But Russell Wilson was the guy who lit the match on this. He did it.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
I put on my doctor's coat, I've scrubbed in, and now it's time to perform an uncomfortable procedure on Wilbon in What's the Word? What's first?
Mookie Betts' catch and throw was blank.
My word is cake, as in piece of cake. If you watch this, Mookie Betts is in right field. He goes near the foul line, not really close to it, but he's in that direction. He catches the ball, then he pirouettes. He throws a one-hop laser to the plate, and he gets an out. And you ask yourself, who sends a runner against Mookie Betts? Because from now on, nobody sends a runner against Mookie Betts. And if you hear the announcers talk about it, they talk about how casual it appears the way Mookie Betts makes this great play, again, as if he does it all the time, as if it's a piece of cake. I will say this, Mike, with Mookie Betts and Bellinger in the outfield for the Dodgers, that's going to cut down on a lot of runs. They're both gold glove guys. Bellinger has one. Mookie's got five. And Mookie started out as an infielder. He never played the outfield until he got to AAA.
Well, Tony, my word could have been ironic because he did this against the Pirates. And what it reminds the two of us who are old enough to remember of is Roberto Clemente, the great Roberto Clemente in right field, who often would catch a ball belt high or lower, and then he would, as you said, pirouette. He would go into a spinorama, and you would just go, oh, my God, but that's not going to be my word. My word is going to be elegant because there are a lot of great outfielders in Major League Baseball. They're great outfielders in the minors. But, Tony, they don't make it look like this. I mean, it's like Mookie could be playing in a tuxedo. He is so elegant when he makes the catch, like, lower than his knee and just spins effortlessly. Look, Junior Griffey's in the category by himself, but Betts is in that next slightly lower category. Absolutely elegant.
Well, Betts is playing right field, so it's a different
Betts,
position.
Betts, right, in, right in field. Griffey, right? I'm just saying, Griffey had a style all his own. Nobody's Griffey.
All right. Next.
The matchup tonight between Fernando Tatis Jr. and Jacob DeGrom should be blank.
It should be thrilling, okay? Because DeGrom is the best pitcher in baseball. And for my money, Tatis and Shohei Ohtani are the two most watchable, stardom-driven hitters in baseball. So this is the kind of thing that if you see it, you're sort of at the edge of your seat. I mean, Tatis at the moment is second in the league in steals and second in homers, despite having missed 18 games. The last guy to lead a league in steals and homers was, 1932, Chuck Klein, okay? And the year that DeGrom is having is totally insane. He's 5-2. His ERA is 0.62. That is the lowest ERA through nine starts since they started keeping ERAs. You got to go back to my high school class of 1913. So for me, I want to watch this, and it is said of DeGrom by teammates, he does not use goop.
Tony, this is an attitudinal matchup in that each guy has got to be sitting there when he walks out there looking at that guy out at home plate or looking at that guy at the mound saying, you think you're good? You might be good, but you can't touch me. Can't touch this, as somebody used to say. And Tony, yes, DeGrom is great at what he does, and he probably thinks he's just going to go out there and have three pitches, four pitches max to Tatis and send him back to the dugout. And Tatis is thinking, I'll take you deep, because he is the most exciting player to watch. I would have thought that distinction belonged to Bo Jackson to lead the league in homers and stolen bases. And it seemed Bo, half the time when Bo was great, didn't even play a whole season because he was going back to football or something. But that's an incredible thing that it's been that many years ago, Tone. But yeah, I plan on watching a little bit of this too.
I thought it was Willie Mays, and Willie Mays didn't do it in the same season. He never did it. That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, will the Sixers beat the Hawks in Atlanta tonight?
And will Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets get their first win in that series against the Suns?
DeGrom is coming in at 100 miles an hour, and if Tatis hits it, it's going out at 120. And that's what you want to see. Does he get a hold of one? Because it's coming in so fast.
Best on best.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 65th birthday, Joe Montana. Personally, I hate the GOAT talk. I hate these declarations. They're always subjective. But the case people make for Michael Jordan over, say, Bill Russell or Kareem is that Jordan was 6-0 in NBA Finals. If he got there, he was money. So as so many people fall in line behind Tom Brady as the GOAT, let me offer this. Montana was 4-0 in Super Bowls. When he got there, he was money. Terry Bradshaw was also 4-0 in Super Bowls, but the Pittsburgh Steelers were defined by their defense. The San Francisco 49ers were defined by Montana. Like Brady, Montana was not a high draft pick. Montana's name was called on the 82nd pick. Like Brady, Montana ran a complex offense under a brilliant coach. Like Brady, Montana was stunningly efficient with the football. Unlike Brady, Montana didn't lose three Super Bowls. I'm just saying.
Tony, if you just look at people play, and those two, by the way, if you just look at quarterbacks play, you have no record, you have no one else, just look at them play, which people aren't even instinctive and smart enough to do anymore. Nobody's better than Joe Montana. Sorry, Tom Brady would tell you nobody's better than Joe Montana. to look at him, the mechanics of throwing a football to a receiver and leading him? Ask Jerry Rice who he thinks. That's kind of unfair because he played with Montana and Steve Young. Joe Montana, I ain't arguing against Joe Montana for anyone ever.
Happy anniversary, Shaquille O'Neal. Around this day 19 years ago, Shaq led the Lakers to a sweep of the New Jersey Nets in the NBA Finals. This was the Lakers' three-peat and Shaq's third consecutive Finals MVP. In this particular series, Shaq averaged 36.3 points, 12.3 rebounds, 2.8 blocks per game, and shot almost 60% from the field. Now, I understand that in the Lakers' mythology, Kobe Bryant ranks higher than Shaq. Kobe played his entire career with the Lakers. Shaq started somewhere else and finished somewhere else. But is it possible that we are underrating Shaq? In the playoff games during that three-peat, Shaq averaged 30 and 15. That's 58 games of 30 and 15. And he won another championship on the way out with Miami. The fact that he is a lovable announcer and commercial spokesman for everything from liniment to off-brand car insurance shouldn't deflect from how great he was.
It shouldn't. I mean, Shaq is so much more an athlete than people understand. So much more graceful. Tony, I once, when writing a piece on Shaq, we had this race on the beach, on the Pacific Ocean, and Shaq says something like, I'll give you 30 yards. And I was like 33 years old. I'm like, let's go, big man. All of a sudden, I just felt this train rumbling past me. It looked like Carl Lewis. Shaq is so great. People had no idea, and they need to give him his credit. They do.
Happy trails to the Colorado Avalanche. As predicted by me, Vegas beat Colorado 6-3 last night, their fourth straight win, and knocked Colorado out of the playoffs. The Avalanche hadn't lost four games in a row all season and had, in fact, won the first two games of the series 10-3. Avalanche star Nathan MacKinnon said disgustedly, quote, I'm going into my ninth year next year and I haven't won beep or bleep or whatever other word you want to put in there, unquote.
I think bleep.
Vegas moves into the Final Four where they will play the surprising Montreal Canadiens. This is Vegas' third time in the Final Four in their four-year history. Their first year as an expansion team, Vegas was in the Stanley Cup Final. The expansion draft that stocked the Golden Knights appears to be the most generous ever. The Seattle Kraken will be stocked by an expansion draft next month. I'm betting NHL owners are far less accommodating this time.
25 years ago yesterday, by the way, since the Avalanche won their one and only cup, 1996 four-game sweep of the Panthers. Just saying.
Okay, let's go to the big finish. Italy beat Turkey 3-0 in the Euro opener. Your thoughts?
I don't care about that game. France, Germany on Tuesday, that's the game I want to see. The slumping Diamondbacks fired their hitting coaches. Really? Is that going to work?
They've lost 30 out of 35. They think a hitting coach change is going to make a difference. Fire your GM. He put the players out there. Kyler Murray says he's leaving open the possibility of playing baseball in the future. Do you think it could happen?
Not until after he finishes playing football, and I hope he plays football for a long time. Sixers, Hawks, game three tonight. Who you like, Tone?
Look, I don't know the status of Embiid. He's played twice. He's played great, and they've still split. I think the Hawks are going to win this one at home. Last one, Suns at Nuggets tonight. Will the Nuggets win at home?
Will book sales increase if the Suns sweep? I'm just asking. Does that answer your question?
Yes, they do, actually.
They do?
Yes, they do.
You know.
I know who you're rooting for.
You're a famous author.
But yeah, we're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.